Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Let me just dive in. As the announcement video talked, we're in Romans 8, and so if you're not there yet, get there. And as you're working your way there, there's 8 verses that are currently trending in the Bible app. So the Bible app is just a program you can put on your phone. I call it a program, an app that you can put on your phone that gives you access to Scripture, gives you access to devotion. So the eight top trending Bible verses that are like the hot ones right now, if you will, for lack of a better term, start with Psalms chapter 9, verse 1, which exhorts us to give thanks with all our heart. And then John chapter 1, verse 1 is there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John, or Philippians chapter 4, 6, don't be anxious in anything. Look at your neighbor and say anything, right? Don't be anxious in anything, with anything. Romans 12, 2 is there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God is there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, to him who is able to do exceedingly more, right? Is number 6. Proverbs 3, 5 is number 7. And then number 8 is Romans 8:28, and that is where we're going this morning. So today, what we're doing is I really want to do like a, I don't know how else to describe it, but we're kind of hitting our brakes a little bit because I want us to sit and take Romans 8:28 and do some crockpot cooking with it, right? I just want us to sit in this chapter or in this verse and the verses around it for the next couple weeks, just to simmer in it, just to allow our hearts to get more and more tender towards the things of God, to do some, how many know the house just smells better when the crock pot's on, right? I mean, I like the Instapot because it's fast and it does a lot of the similar things, but man, the house, you just smell different when the crock pot's on. So what does Romans 8:28 tell us that you're more than? Let me just declare over you today that you're more than your setbacks. Whether the setbacks are because of mistakes or because they're failures, maybe it's because things that were done to you or struggles that you've had, maybe it's because you made a decision and the decision didn't go the way that you thought it would go and it started out good and then things went south and you're like, what do I do now? You're more than your setbacks. Whether you're navigating that season and that's where you find yourself, we're going to speak to that today. The big idea this morning is this: there is never a moment in your life that will not be used for your good. I didn't think that would get a lot of amens. And you're like, Steve, but what about? And I don't know what your blank is about. All of us will face situations. We'll face maybe a conflict. Perhaps we made a decision, the reality of our own sin and the effects and the leftover remnant of that sin still impacts our life today, perhaps. And we wonder, how could God turn that around? How could God make that thing good? Romans 8:28 is a powerful passage of Scripture. It's not a token passage of Scripture where someone's going through a hard time and you just walk by them and say, well, hey, I just want you to know God works all things together for good. See ya. Hope that makes you better. I believe God has a message for some in the house today, I think for all of us, but for some specifically, he's going to put his hand upon you, speak to you. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. That's the New International Version, reads that way. The ESV, which is typically what I preach out, preach out of says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So we're going to dive into the front end of this verse today, all right? We're not going to get very far, and then next week we'll pick up the back half plus some more, and that's why we're doing what I'm calling this morning some crockpot cooking, man. We're just going to sit in this verse for a couple weeks. Let me give you four thoughts this morning about the front end of this verse, dealing as we look at this topic that you're more than your setbacks. We're going to exegete this passage of scripture, which is just a fancy Bible, you know, Bible college word, meaning that we're going to study out, or we're going to extrapolate these words from the front end of this text this morning. And if you could just picture it this way, like back in the day, I don't know if they still do it, but remember when they put prizes in the cereal box? How many are part of that? Those that I was asking first service, do they still do that? Because I couldn't, I don't like the cereal aisle. It's a little bit overwhelming. It's like the toothpaste aisle. Just give me some good toothpaste. I don't need like 50 choices because I'll pick the wrong one every week, right? Or every time I go back. But it's like the cereal aisle, man. I just give me granola or give me Life cereal and I'm good. Make it simple. But remember when you were a kid and they had, and if do they do this? Some people were like, I don't know, maybe once in a while, first year, but those of you that have kids in the house, do they do the prize thing still? Man, you should have been alive, kids, when we did that. It was awesome. Man, breakfast was like glorious. Because what would happen is your parents would buy, you know, some Cocoa Puffs or some whatever, and they would put these little expensive high-dollar gifts within these boxes, right? And you would, mom would come home and unload the groceries, and I would see on the counter, oh man, there's some tricks or there's some sugar puffs or whatever it was, and I would like get all excited. I couldn't wait for morning. It was like Christmas. And you'd go to bed, and then you'd wake up the next morning. You'd play with the dog for a little bit and throw the cat outside and let the dog lick your hands and all this stuff. And you'd remember, oh, the box of cereal has a prize in it. And you'd rip that thing open, and it would, like, go everywhere. At least it did it once in a while in my house. And then you would just, like, do this, man. And finally pull it out. Remember that? You did it just like that. Sweating. Finally got it. And you pull that thing out. Well, my hope is today that as we kind of slow down this passage of scripture, you're like the kid in that cereal box. And you're going to pull out something that God speaks to you in a fresh and powerful way from a very familiar passage of scripture. So the first thought is this, an undeniable confirmation. Look at it, Romans 8:28. And we know that. To know is to become aware. It's to discern or discover. It's kind of like this. There's a story about Dr. Albert Einstein, who was traveling from Princeton to go speak somewhere. He was on a train, and he had found his seat on the train, or took a seat on the train, and the conductor was walking through like they used to, punching tickets and making his way. He came to Albert Einstein, and Einstein is padding everywhere. He's looking for his ticket. He can't find his ticket. And the conductor says, well, Dr. Einstein, we know who you are. We know that you pay your ticket all the time. It's not a problem. Just sit back, enjoy the ride. We'll get you to where you want to go. And the conductor moved on from Einstein and got to the end of the car, turned around and started walking back. And he noticed these legs sticking out from the floor. And he realizes that it's Dr. Einstein, and he comes up to Einstein, and he says, listen, Dr. Einstein, we know who you are. It's good. Don't worry about the fact that you don't have your ticket. You're good. We know who you are. Don't worry about it. And Einstein looked up from the floor as he's padding around under his seat, searching in desperation, and he says to the conductor, look, I know who I am, but the reason I'm looking for this ticket is because I don't know where I'm going. And you may be here this morning and you know who you are, or you think you know who you are, but you're not sure where you're going. And that word know is strategic. It's specific. Because Paul wants you to know that you know. That when your life comes to an end, you can be in heaven, not because you've done a lot of good deeds, but because you know that you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through the Son, and you know that you know that you know him. Because of Christ and his work on the cross, and that creates this confidence and this courage for you and I to walk out your faith no matter what the situations, no matter what life is unfolding before you, that you're able to walk through that knowing whose you are and knowing who you are. And as you read through Romans 8, you learn fast and quick that your salvation hinges on Jesus. And the purpose of your salvation, listen to me this morning, the purpose of your salvation isn't so that you can go to heaven. Though that's going to be awesome. That's going to be great. It's going to be incredible. And that's where you want to be. The purpose of your salvation isn't keeping you out of hell. Though I rejoice. Your salvation isn't about putting peace in your heart. And I don't want to live without peace. Your salvation is about you becoming like Jesus. Verse 29, and we're not going to go there this morning, but Paul speaks of the image of his Son manifesting in you, manifesting through you, you becoming like him. And this is such good news. And Paul says, you know. It isn't based on feelings. Sometimes, I mean, if you're like me, sometimes I don't feel very well. Sometimes this world is distracting. Sometimes the responsibilities of life make living really, 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 really clunky. Sometimes those things feel like a setback. They're not, but they feel that way, if you know what I mean. And Paul is exhorting us, don't trust your feelings. Trust on the promise God has provided for you. And he says, and you know that. I mean, John chapter 14, 3 says this, and if I go, Jesus talking, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I know them, and they know me because they know my voice. There is so much that I love about Romans 8. I mean, I've had a blast walking through this fall series the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks today. There's so much richness to Romans 8, 28. Do you know one thing that grabs me about this verse? This is an opportunity. What's that, Steve? Tell me. I'm going to tell you anyway. Even if you don't want to know, I'm going to tell you, right? This verse, if you could put Romans 8, 28 up there for me. This verse doesn't begin with, we hope. Doesn't begin with, we suppose. It doesn't begin with, we wish. But rather, it begins with, we know. We have a promise founded upon the character of our Creator. So when life is a little cray-cray, right? You can be confident that God is working in the details of your life, and you may see the moment. And it may be overwhelming for you, and it may be a painful moment, but you can go through that moment with this confidence that God sees a masterpiece that he's working on. And he's working in that. For 2 millennia, the church has been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We live in the tension between the already and the not yet, don't we? beneficiaries of what Christ has done, but patiently waiting on that which he will yet do. So we're in this space. It's that space for expecting parents called the delivery room. When we were, when Robin was pregnant with our first, we were laughing in first service. It was a long time ago. It was 1996. How many of you were not born yet in 1996? So, like, well, back in 1996, we used smoke signals to send people messages, right? And then life, speed of change happened, and they came up with these things called pagers. And so we were like, man, that's a cool idea. And we had heard that this Nextech or Nextel, whatever the phone company, the provider was back in the day, had these pagers, and they would do a special deal for those that were expecting, and they called it the Stork Alert. And you could rent a pager for just a couple months, and it was, you know, for a nominal fee, and in that way, when it was time, you could send a page to your partner, hey, it's time. And so Robin and I said, that is a good idea, because at the time we were Bible college students, and we were running all over the place, man. We, you know, just constantly going, and she had gone into labor several different times, and they were able to stop it, and then finally it was time. And so I was at lunch with a friend, and my pager went off. And I was like, excuse me, got a page, you know, just kidding, acting like I was important or something. And we had a code, 911 was the code. That meant the stork's coming, get home and get me to the hospital. And we had other codes, like stop, you know, code 10 was like stop by Walmart and get some celery or something, I don't know. But anyway, 911 was the code, and so the code went off, and we went to the hospital, and they admitted her, and they said, this is it, this is the one, you're not going anywhere, hunker down, get ready, and the baby's coming. And so we were excited, and we were getting situated, and in the next room, our nurse was incredible, and in the next room, there was this lady that was in labor too, and she let the whole hospital know about it. You know, if you get that, she was screaming, she was loud. And our nurse was hearing that and getting frustrated and, you know, working with Robin and looking at Robin going, I can't stand that. That's so obnoxious. She doesn't have to do that, you know, trying to. I think she was probably speaking it more to me than to Robin, because I'm like, you know. But, all that to say, through the labor pains of life, Jesus has begun a good work in you and will be faithful to complete it. And you know that in all things, right? So we just don't see an undeniable confirmation. Secondly, I want you to see this unshakable clarification. My homiletics professor would be so proud of me this morning with our main points. This unshakable clarification. And we know that in all things. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is the all things? It's in every respect, in every regard, in every manner of circumstance, it's all things. Typically, we just think about the hard stuff, but it's in every stuff. It's all things. If I could illustrate it this way, we're trying to do illustrations throughout this series, but hula hoop action. If Tate, come on, Tate, come give me a hand. Give Tate a hand. He's in a. Come on up here. He's going to demonstrate his hula hoop. I'm just kidding. No, this is just an illustration. This is the all things. Take hold of that if you would. This is the victories of life. This is the atrocities of life. This is the sufferings. This is the complexities of life. All these things that encompass who you are, and like just sometimes let go for a second. Just like feel, man, from head to toe, all things. You get the picture? You see it? Take it. That's all things. One commentator that I reference said all things is utterly comprehensive, has no qualifications or limits. Neither, and then he goes on to say, neither this verse nor its context allows for restrictions or conditions. It's all things, man. It's the complexities, it's the joys, it's the trials, it's the temptations, it's the victories, it's the promotions, it's all things, if you get the picture. And Paul has the audacity to speak to us and to say to the church at Rome, but the church of millennia, all things. But God, it's the 21st century, and this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and all things. But what if all things? And God doesn't stand away from you in all of his goodness and say, I know that in all things I'm working. He's not standing over here going, my hula hoop's bigger than your hula hoop. You know what? And he's not even doing this. In all things, I want you to know I work together for the good of your situation. No, this would be good from head to toe. He's like, don't grab my hula hoop. Right? That would be good if God just did that. But it goes beyond that. Because you know what God does? No, don't. Just flex with me. Just move with me. Hold it. Back up. We're totally doing this off the cuff, just so you know, all right? Just hold it. No, just you keep your foot still. Hold it like this. Move your hands here. All right, thanks. Said totally. It's not him. It's me. I'm not God to prepare everything to make it flow perfectly like you would do. All right, so God's not sitting here going, you know, I'm good, but if you'd get your stuff together, it'd be a lot better. You know what God does? God says this, man, I'm so good, I'm willing to come up in your stuff and get in there with you. That's how good I am. And that's what I want to do. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, man, I encompass you. I encompass your good times. I encompass your bad times. Thanks. Give it up for Tate, man. Thanks for working with me, man. I mean, God's not going, dude, I'd hate to be you right now in your situation and your struggle and your trial. He's not doing that. He's undeniable. He's unshakable. Number three, he's unstoppable. It's an unstoppable collaboration. Look at it. God works. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That word works, it's to unite together by creating synergy. So God works in your life. Look, just tell your neighbor right now, God works. Some of you are like, I'm not convinced, but I'll say it because the preacher said it. To work together, the Greek word there is syngeo. It's where we get our word synergy, right? So there is synergy in this moment today. There was synergy happening here as me and Tay were trying to work together, right? There's synergy. There's synergy in this room as we were worshiping and you were lifting up your hands and your expression of worship and your love for God was encouraged. You weren't doing it for the person that was next to you or for the person behind you or for the person in front of you, but your example and you stepping to the presence of God was most likely, and I would dare say, was motivating and inspiring others around you. There's synergy. I know you hear it all the time. When I hear people lifting up their voice in prayer, man, it energizes me. And when your phone rings in the middle of service, there's synergy because all eyes go on you. Right? There's synergy in the moment today. You'll experience it tomorrow as you work with colleagues and you collaborate over a project. There's synergy there. Those of you that are students and you're gathered around the cafeteria table tomorrow and you're talking about a project or you're talking about a problem, and there's a synergy happening there. For the Christian, there is an essential synergy to all of life. Even the notes that seem to be dissident are coming together to be part of a beautiful symphony. Even the situations in your life right now that you're going, I don't get this. We were faithful to do this, this, and this. Why is this happening? God is orchestrating something that, whether you are able to recognize it and see it on this side of eternity, or you step with the other across the way and you see the why, is regardless, the truth of the matter is that there's a synergy that God is working. He's creating a beautiful symphony, a beautiful masterpiece out of your story. And God is working for us. Listen, He's working for us and in us. Not through some things, but through all things. He's working. Synergy is elements working together for a better outcome. Right? In your marriage, it's not just the wife working to make the marriage work. It's not just the husband doing everything. It's this. In your faith, it's just not, well, I got to do the, I'm the one that's praying, man, I'm the one that's reading the Bible, I'm the one that's paying my tithes, I'm the one that's going to church, I'm the one that's opening my home, I'm the one. It's all about me. Well, you can try to run the race that way, but you're running it by yourself. Jesus wants to run with you. He wants to, I read a verse somewhere in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, take my yoke, step with me. Synergy. There is nothing dark or difficult that God cannot harness, leverage it, repurpose it for your good. But Steve, what about? And the only way you can call this season good in a way that makes sense is in the context of the broader story of salvation. You were saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. It's the promise of salvation. It's the promise of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the unstoppable collaboration doesn't necessarily remove pain, right? It may not end momentary suffering. It doesn't negate the joys of life. It just gives us the right perspective. If I could illustrate it this way for us, how many of y'all like salt? I'm sure there's some people in here that they bring the food to, you'll go out to lunch today or you'll open up the crock pot, you know, throw the stuff on the serving platter and they'll put it on the table. And the first thing you do after you pray, because we all pray before we eat, some of us pray after we eat, thinking, dear Lord, help me survive that, but, right? But you pray, and then the next thing you grab is not your fork and knife, it's the salt. And you're seasoning your meal before you even tasted it to see if you needed the season. How many of you are guilty of that? Confession's good for the soul, right? In the physical world, the right combination of otherwise harmful chemicals can produce substances that are extremely beneficial. Case in point, ordinary table salt is composed of two poisons, sodium and chloride. Separately, you won't be salting your food anymore. Right? Your season, your situation may be terrible. It may be. But if God is with you, and He is, He's going to bring something good to you. If you're in the room, you're watching online today, and you don't have that perspective because you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's not your filter by which you're like, man, this happened to me. I know something happened to this person. How? That's not good. The apartheid's not good. Racism's not good. You know, and we can go all atrocities of life. How can God bring something good from that? But yet, God has this vantage point that is so much greater than our vantage point. Again, not to minimize anyone's suffering or pain. I said it earlier, the last thing that you should do if you're a follower of Jesus is to go up to somebody that's having a hard time and say, Romans 8:28, it's going to be okay. God's going to work this all out for good. See ya. And you better get in their story. You better get in their mess. True, it's a true scripture. But don't let it be your out for getting to somebody's mess. God working in our life as a believer is able to take good things. Now, notice, as a believer, put Romans 8:28 up there again, please. The full text. There we go. Good for those who love Him. It's relationship. Is able to take good things and bad things, and God's engagement and power in our life makes them good. There's synergy there. Listen, difficulties without God can be poisonous. Difficulties with God become testimonies. Testimonies give you victory over the enemy, right? That's what Revelations tells us. It's all about having the right ingredients, if you will. When the Bible uses the word work, it's talking of those things in your hula hoop. And you're going, how is God going to bring good to this? And He comes in and He begins to mix things together. Elements that you thought were like horrific, and He's placing His hands in your mess. And as you think about this point of collaboration, or this point on collaboration, the Bible says this, that you're God's workmanship. Literally, you're His masterpiece. You're His poem. You maybe just see the first stanza of the poem, but God sees the whole thing. And He's weaving and He's interjecting His purposes. And many of you are waiting to see this, and I promise you this. God is doing something. And then we see God overcomes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. God beats Satan. If we took time to read that text, that's what you would find. The enemy will try to take you out by your setbacks. But remind him of this. Remind yourself of this, but God's fighting for me. Romans 8:28 tells us that He loves us. Ephesians 1 tells us that He loved us since the foundations of the earth. Don't think for a minute that your setback is greater than God's love for you. He isn't giving up on you. He'll see you through this season and the next season and the next season because He's good. And God redeems. God redeems, and that's the synergy. I mean, Exodus 6:6 tells us about the children of Israel. Redeem literally means to buy back. God's able to redeem. He's able to buy back that which was bad. God knows, Jeremiah 29:11, that famous passage of Scripture, right? For I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, to prosper you, to give you a future, not to harm you, right? And the question then comes is, do we believe God's plan for us? Or am I just so focused on this short view of God that I'm missing the long view? And lastly, God supplies. Philippians 4:19. And what does workmanship, overcome, redeem, know, and supplies spell? It works. God is working, and he's working in your story, and he's working in what appears to be a setback in your life. God is working. Last thought, unmistakable consideration, and I'll be short with this, for the good. You're like Steve again, what is before me isn't good. You can't tell me it is. You can't tell me right now that my marriage is good. You can't tell me what the decisions that my kids are making is good. You can't tell me that where our nation at is good. Listen, somehow in spite of what is happening in or around us, we have to see, we have to believe that God is working for our good. Good, it's originating from a place of kindness, towards kindness. So, what does that mean? It means that our God is a good God. He originates from a place of kindness, right? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, the Bible tells us. It originates in a place of kindness, a place of goodness, and it comes over and he gets in to your story, into your hula hoop, and he places his goodness in the midst of that situation, in the midst of your life, in the midst of your trial, because he's good. And he's kind, and he's not afraid of your mess, and he's not afraid of your story, and he's not afraid of your failures. How many know God's not the cause of the chaos? Right? He just wants to get into our hula hoop and work on our story for his greater good. The worship team would come, if I could just summarize it this way. God is the potter, and we're the clay. So a key takeaway this morning would be this, that you would be reminded that God is the artist, that God is the potter, and you are the canvas, you're the clay. And in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, gives to us this imagery, this picture of God being the potter and molding that piece of clay, and that when there's something that's marring that vessel that he's making, that he's constructing with, I'm not a potter. I remember back in the day in art class where we had to do some of that stuff, right? And my never turned out very pretty. But he's working it, and he's putting his hand on the inside, and he's shaping that vessel, right? And he's forming it, and he's just working it, man. However he wants to make that vessel look like. And if there's something in there that's marring it, he'll pull that thing out that's marring it, start over, and begin to work it. But guess what? A lot of that time, where's that clay? It's right here. Sometimes his hands are on the inside, forming it out. But his hands are always around. He takes all things. He shapes them and sculpts them for your good. Why? Because he is good. Would you bow your heads with me? what your hula hoop is. You know, those things that are surrounding you right now, and they feel so consuming, so suffocating, so beyond your capacities to know how to respond to know how to answer to, and it feels like it's not that I want to give up on God. I don't want to do that. I just feel so overwhelmed with life right now. And God, may He not just whisper to you. May He be shouting to you today. I'm working in your life. I want to work more in life. I want to get up in your hula hoop, if you will, and put my goodness around you. And yeah, you may be in this season for a little bit. It may not change overnight, but you have to understand. I'm up in there, and I'm working in what appears to be a mess to you. I'm going to make it a masterpiece. If you let me. If you allow me to. Sure, there may be some things that are marring you right now. And I may need to remove those, and it's going to be painful. But you got to trust me. That I'm not going to let you fall. I don't let a sparrow pass by without me taking notice. I gave my son for you. I've loved you from the foundations of the earth. Ephesians 1 tells us, I got you. For you, for some in this room, you just need to rest there. And if that's you, then I would just ask you, just symbolically do something. Would you just, as you're seated where you're at, just make a cup with your hands and lay them on your lap. God, you have us in your hands. You have this situation and our story in your hands. Just leave your hands like that during this time. Secondly, there are some here this morning and you're wrestling where you're at. You don't get it. Again, it's not to minimize anyone's season or anyone's story with a little coffee cup verse that God works all things together for those who love Him. But I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you would just, for those that know you and they're wrestling with where they're at, they don't get it. Lord, I pray that you would just begin to reveal some no moments in their life, some moments where they encountered you and they knew that you were working in their life beyond a shadow of a doubt. And God, from those no moments would come this confidence, would come this courage, would come this conviction that you have them, you've not forsaken them, that you are in their hula hoop working right now. And God, as you remind them of that, as those no moments come to their heart, to their mind right now, God, I pray that you would just, that you would be breathing into their spirit. And there would be a peace that would come over them during this moment. And lastly, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't know God, you're not in a relationship with God, God has been off your radar and you've been away from Him maybe all of your life or for a season of your life, I would just say to you today that God wants you to know Him. and you can know him. And you can begin, this is all about relationship. And you can begin that relationship today. And God, here in a little bit, we're going to wrap up service in a few minutes, and then we're going to go down and watch some people get baptized, and their life speaks of the transformation of Christ in their life. And you're here today and you're going, man, I need to change my, I need Jesus in my life. I need to know the forgiveness of my sin. I feel the weight of my sin each and every day. And Jesus, who is God, very God, the Son of God, who went to the cross, not because we asked him to, but because he knew that the only way to restore relationship with Almighty God was through his sacrifice. But he just didn't die. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, triumphing over death, hell, and the grave. And you're like, man, I need Christ. I need God to be in my life, to lead my life. And you're here today, and you've never taken that step of faith. And you're like, Steve, would you just pray for me? I want to begin that relationship today. It won't make you perfect, but it sets you on the right direction. You're here today. Steve, pray for me today. I want to begin a relationship with God. Would you just slip up your hand right where you're at if that's you? You're like, man, God, I see that. I want that. I need that. God, I thank you for the joy of salvation. I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. God, that you take train wrecks and the weight of sin, and you remove it, and all things become new. We marvel at you. God, you are able to take the pain and the suffering of life, the setbacks of life, and use it for the good. God, give us your perspective on stuff, not just our perspective, I pray. And as we step towards you in a song of worship, God, what you've spoken to us, what stood out to us in the midst of this message, God, solidify it, cement it within our spirit, Lord God, and continue to speak to us and draw us to your presence, we pray. In Jesus' name.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.